This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation, live from Oxnard, California. Cowboys training camp day four, and assistant director of player personnel, Will McClay, sitting down with us to open up the show. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
That coffee smells delicious.
It's wonderful.
It has some chocolate in it?
Yeah. No, I'm on this diet that whereas for the because I'm fat, so I got to drink coffee until X amount of time, and then I get to eat an apple.
Okay.
Someone will be grumpy in a little while. You better be glad you're getting me now.
That sounds absolutely terrible. Mike here tried to be a vegan. He wanted to do it for 2 weeks.
He made it
about 10 days.
I did 10 days.
10 days?
It's over.
The things we put our bodies through to be as chiseled as we are.
Yeah.
How long do you think whatever you're doing will last?
It'll last through camp. It's one of those things. I always try and find something to put myself through, to a little bit of torture to prepare myself for this long season.
Okay.
So I'm starting it out now.
Nice.
Well, everybody this morning is debating exactly what we saw last night from Jalen Smith. So from your eyes, can you give us your evaluation of his camp so far?
You know, it's the first time he's put on pads, and you guys got the countdown. I don't. But to come through that devastating injury, be where he is, very, very impressed, because the one thing about him, he's an extremely instinctive football player. The instincts are there. And as he continues to get better through this, he's going to be a great player. He's going to be a really, really good player at least.
Ooh, at the very least. That's exciting.
Do you think, I'm trying to think of the right word, dangerous is the word that's popping to mind, but it's the wrong word. But in terms of trying to put a timeline on Jalen as a Cowboy fan, where it's like, oh, he's going to be out there week one and he's going to dominate. Would you caution anybody to just be patient and let it play out the way it's going to play out? Because my expectations went up when I saw him moving around on day one and day two. And then day three, you watch some contact, and every little concern, everybody kind of freaks out. Is it just sort of a, hold on, let's just see what he does and when he does it?
I don't want to put any timelines on that guy. I think that he's, again, he's going to push himself to the level that he needs to be at. I don't put anything past that guy, because to overcome what he's overcome, and to overcome that at the way that he's overcome it, you know, if you have an injury, you know, I've broken my finger before, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't think I'll ever be able to do it. But the determination that he's shown throughout this whole time, I'm not going to doubt anything about the kid at all.
And then the one thing that I've noticed too is a lot of guys talk about him as being part of the team, and just my days of playing baseball, guys that are hurt and don't play, especially rookies, you forget they're even on your team. And it seems like Dez and Sean Lee and some of the leaders of the team, they really recognize Jalen as being part of the team.
When you see him, you believe in him. He's got some of the Dak factor in that people believe in him because of who he is and how he approaches his job and the things that he overcomes and his infectious spirit that he does it with. So he's overcome that injury with that. And so he's going to be a good player because of that, no matter what his issues are. And every player has something that's bothering him, that's nagging or whatever, and they have to find a way to overcome that. He's going to overcome it, number one, with instinctiveness. He's got to get more plays. Every football is muscle memory, and you know, you got to go through those reps, and the more of those that he gets, the more he's going to be able to say, if I can't do this, I'll adjust this way. He's just a unique kid.
So when it comes to finishing those plays, do you think it's retraining the muscles that work now that's going to put him in position to do those, or are we depending on more regeneration for him to be at minimum a good player?
No, I think he's going to be able to adjust based off of what he has to deal with. I mean, it's like a baseball, a batter or a golf swing. You know, you adjust based off of what happens, and okay, you check out yourself. Okay, this is how I'm going to get it done. And that instinct and that muscle memory, if one doesn't fire, there's going to be another one that fires to compensate for it.
the positivity that he demonstrates, and I observed it after last night's practice, and I'm just standing there half in awe, half inspired by his positivity. Was that there before the traumatic knee injury?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, one of the big things we look for is a guy's love of the game. And when our scouts went into Notre Dame and when you turned on the tape, there's a just exuberant amount of passion for the game. And that's what made him great in college. It's not only do you have all the physical traits, there's a lot of guys with physical tools, but do they understand the game? Do they know the game? Do they love the game? And the love of the game shows his willingness and his spirit to be able to come back from that injury to say, I'm going to be back on the field. Some people don't do that.
How hard is it to pin that down with players? Because I watch these guys to get ready for the NFL draft. I watched Dak Prescott, and I thought he was like a fourth-round player. You guys picked him in the fourth round. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw that success coming. But now when you hear what everybody says about him and you look back at it, you're like, well, maybe he should have been picked sooner. Maybe people should have seen it coming because of who he is. And I wonder when you're scouting, when you've got guys out on the road, is every head coach honest about their players, or does it take a lot of digging to get a real good feel for which guys are the real grinders?
It takes a lot of digging because when I coached, you know, when we won games, everybody was great. When we lost, everybody sucked. So there's a, you know, somewhere in between that, and you have to dig and you have to reconfirm because we have people talking about people that we're going to put with a group of people. So you got to do your homework. You really got to dive in, and you got to have a feel. We have scouts that have been doing it for a long time. We stress the importance of finding those things out, and then we put them into a situation. How do they react to that situation?
Jordan Lewis should get here today, I guess, and hopefully start practicing.
Yes.
What did you guys find when you were researching his background? Because I've heard high character guy. Everybody knows the accusation that he just beat
yes.
court. What did you guys find out about him when you were studying him before the draft?
Everybody we talked to from who's coached him in high school, who coached him in college, we dug deep to give us the security in doing what we did based on the way that the NFL and the world is with the issue that came up. We felt very, very comfortable with that, and then interviewing the kid and putting him through all the things that we did and all the background stuff that we did, we felt comfortable with that. And, you know, every man deserves his opportunity in court, and that's the positive thing turned out.
It's Will McClay with us here on The Fan.
So, Taco Charlton, first-round pick. What are your thoughts so far on his first few days?
He's got the stuff, and he's going to go in the shed with Marinelli, and it's going to be beat down and tore down, and he's going to figure it out, and he's going to be an impactful player for us. He's got size. He's got speed, everything we look for. And he can, you know, they still run the ball in the NFL. Everybody's talking about a war daddy. Until we find the war daddy, we're going to do it collectively, and he's got to fit in. He's going to add something to it. Sack guys in the NFL, they play off of other people. And I think we have eight guys that can play the game the right way and can add things to us. Each guy's going to be better. I can't remember what the position was within the league last year in terms of sacks. We didn't have a war daddy. We had a bunch of guys that did their job. He's another guy that needs to do his job.
So two guys that have stood out to me just watching drills and yesterday's practice at that position has been Charles Tapper and DeMarcus Lawrence. Can you talk about the progress of Tapper first after not really getting to practice much last year?
Yeah, I mean, he had an injury. He's another young guy. It's like another draft pick for us that's coming in to play now. What he is extremely explosive. The first thing that you see about him is how explosive he is, how fast he is. He's learning the intricacies of it. He played in a scheme that didn't utilize his physical traits in college. So now he's got to learn to use those in the NFL against better people. He's only growing that way. But the one thing you can't deny is how explosive he is. Once he learns how to use that, he's going to be a bonus. And DeMarcus has come back. DeMarcus has got something to prove. DeMarcus feels the pressure of having to be that guy, and not in a bad way, but in a good way. He's become a leader, and I think there's going to be really good things from him.
How sure are you with his back's going to hold up? How much of a concern is his health with Tank?
I think anytime you say back, it's always a concern, but I think he's worked himself into better shape. He realizes the importance of what he has to do to be great in this league, especially after, you know, the injury. I see some really positive things from him.
Has your approach with pass rusher changed? You said until we find the war daddy, we're going to find good football players. Were you swinging for the misses and creating risk that was all or nothing, and now you're like looking for more sure things? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm wondering.
Well, I think that's part of it, and you never know how these young men are going to react until they get here. my objective and our objective is to go out and find guys that have the traits and then trust the coaches to develop those traits to become producing players for us.
So with a guy like Tapper, you mentioned it, at Oklahoma, they've got him playing essentially a three-man line and mm-hmm. two-gapping and wrestling offensive tackles, mm-hmm. but at the combine he's running a 4.5 40.
Yes.
How do you – obviously that's a trait. How do you figure out exactly where to slot that
we go
when you're basing it on a trait?
Yeah, kind of? Well, we go and we work him out, and, you know, we do things to say, okay, can he – does he have the agility, the hips, the all those things to develop into a pass rusher? And then does he have the work ethic – and the character to handle the grind that you're going to get. We place players with coaches. Marinelli's something else. So you got to be something else to be able to handle him. And he's going to help you reach your ceiling. You got to be able to go through the beating to figure out, you know, to become who you are.
All right, let's focus on you for a second. It's Will McClay with us here on 105.3 The Fan. The first time I heard your name, I think it was as the head coach of the Dallas Desperados, the arena team. And now you're an American hero and the secret weapon of the Dallas Cowboys team building exercise. What were the steps? Like, what got you to where you are right now?
I started playing football in 1972 and it was a part of my life every day and learned lessons. And there are people that have pushed me to this. You know, I thought I wanted to coach. Then I got an opportunity to put a team together in the Arena Football League, and I started to enjoy that. And then I got the opportunity to work for the Dallas Cowboys, and it all starts from the leadership at the top. He takes all the bullets, so he allows you to do your job. He listens to you, and now it's exciting to be in that situation with this club at this point in time because you're allowed to do your job. And we got great people working with us.
So one of the guys that me and Brad Sham are really liking is Noah Brown, number 85 wide receiver. Just looking at y'all's numbers and the guys that you have coming back and then drafting Ryan Switzer, is it going to be tough for him to make the 53?
Yeah, it's going to be tough for him, and that's our job is to make it tough. We want to have the best 53 players. He has some skills. He has some traits. Now, it's up to him to do the right thing in the count. He may not be a guy that catches 40 passes, 50 passes. He might have to play on special teams, and he's got to do all those things. Will he do that and contribute to the team as he grows as a player? In the NFL, you got to grow as a player, and so you have to fit your role until you grow into that contributing type deal, and it's made of 53 guys. There's offense, defense, special teams. You got to play, you got to fit in.
How big of a role do you play in the 53 man selection, as in 5 wide receivers, 6 wide receivers, 10 defensive linemen, 9 defensive linemen? How many DBs, how many guys are in on that conversation?
There's, you know, the whole coaching staff and the scouting department, as well as the Joneses, we're in on it. There's 4 or 5 of us to get together and say, this is ideal, what we want. We look at the team, the injuries, all those things that occur when you start into the season and figure out what is best for us. And then, you know, the coach's input as to how you use those pieces that we have available to us.
So when you self-scout to set that up and you've got your scouts out here, like now that you look at what you have out here, which position groups do you think is going to be the toughest to make the team, and which ones might you still be looking around the league at who might have too many?
I think it's still to be determined because a lot of things can happen. We're paying attention to every team within the league, and most importantly ours right now, and how do you improve that? And we've got to scour it, the whole deal. We're always looking to improve the team. It's just like, you know, situation happened the other day. We're improving our football team.
Is it normal for NFL players to play with nipple rings?
No, it's not. They're all unique. It's a unique football players are unique, and they all got their own little thing.
I just can't imagine. I mean, David Irvin obviously has a little bit of an injury. Nothing that'll keep him off the field. Yeah. But I just can't imagine that you'd want to play with one of those in football.
I wouldn't. Good for him.
Will you guys list that on an injury report?
No, I don't think so. I haven't seen yet. Nipple problem. No, I have not seen it.
It's Will McClay here with us on The Fan, the assistant director of player personnel for the Cowboys. So the addition of Ronnie Hillman. Can you take us through the thought process on what led to that this morning?
I mean, we're going to add players that can add things to the team. And what Ronnie does, you know, Scott Linehan in the offense, he has a unique way of using players in different ways to their ability to set up the defense. Ronnie gives us another Dunbar-type player. So when you look at it and you have pieces, if he fits in, he only adds more firepower to what you do offensively.
Okay. How about we go back to Jordan Lewis? How much of a bargain do you guys get with the cloud hanging over his situation? Like, if Cowboy fans wanted to be extra excited about Jordan Lewis, could we say he would have gone in the second or the first round or something like that?
A lot of people we talked to had him in the second round, you know, and we feel like that he's a steal for us because of what we were looking for. We're looking for players that can add value to the secondary. He's gets to the ball. He's a very instinctive player. He was a great player at Michigan. He has some of that stuff for a 5'10 corner that you see make it in the league.
Are you looking to add assets to any specific position groups here at this point in training camp, linebacker, or are you guys comfortable at backup quarterback, things like that?
We're always looking to improve the team. If there's something that's out there, if we see a weakness, we want to address it as soon as we possibly can so that they can get into the playbook and have an opportunity. But we're, you know, my objective is to, I tell the players when we meet with them when they come in, I love them all like cousins, but my objective is to replace you. We're always trying to make the team stronger.
When do you personally start on the 2018 NFL draft?
We started on it in March, April, let's see, when was it? In May. We went to league meetings to start, not league meetings, but the combine meetings to start to find out about players. We're looking at where guys are. That's how our college scouts are here. They set their schedule where to go. We're starting on it now.
All right, if you pick 32nd, who are you guys taking?
A good player.
Okay, can't wait.
That's a good Stephen Jones answer. Yeah,
yeah. How many different guys did you?
I've learned well.
When you guys are in the war room and you got on the clock at number 28, everybody knows who you picked, Taco Charlton. How many different guys were in that conversation?
There was probably six, seven guys.
Can I get you to name them?
No, you cannot.
Okay,
no,
outstanding. No. I want to go back for something that I've just always been curious about. When Jalen was picked, the internet always gets a hold of and says this was the Cowboys' board. And if it's right, it had Jalen Smith somewhere there in the top five mm-hmm. on the Dallas Cowboys' board. And I wonder, when you have a guy with a serious medical situation, do you leave him on your board where his talent dictates? And then when you're on the clock, debate if it's worth the pick there?
Yes, because we want to know the value of the player.
Okay.
And it's what we try and do in scouting is we try and give all the information to the judge. Jerry and Steven are the judge. They make the call. In a lot of situations where there's a general manager and a head coach, they come to it and they have to go to the owner. Well, guess what? We don't have to do that. And they assess the risk and say, this is the right value for this player that we had valued at a certain level.
Okay, so no, you wouldn't. I was just thinking, why wouldn't you slot him like where you would pick him? For instance, if you were picking fifth and he was number five, would Jalen Smith have been picked that high?
He sticks out like a red light.
You just want him to stick
we
out.
We want him
there.
To stick out okay. because there's that's that value we placed on him. We know all the issues. If he wasn't injured, this is where this player would be. We know it. There's a tag that signifies that there's the issue. And as we go down, we make that decision based off of what's available, what we think about that player, and then consider what the issues are.
Well, congratulations, Will, on putting together or helping put together an awesome roster. You have the entire fan base and all of us at the fan very excited about what we're about to see this football season.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Enjoy the diet, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be grumpy. You catch me at 10 o'clock, don't say anything.
I'll ask if you had your apple yet.
Yeah.
There he goes, Will Thanks. McClay, right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, sir. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Albertsons, official grocer and pharmacy of your Dallas Cowboys, by the Omni Frisco Hotel. Injury reports brought to you by Jerry's Hyundai. And thanks to Will for sitting down there in that Twin Peaks hot seat. We're going to come back and give you the top sports stories of the day, including what happens to trade value after giving up 10 runs in 3 2/3, if anything. And the other top sports stories are coming up next right here on The Fan. Gavin Dawson here for our friend Scott and Mark Frankel, 1-800-LAWYERS. For more than 20 years, the Frankels have been representing victims of negligence in Dallas-Fort Worth, car wrecks, 18-wheelers, accidents on the job, and injuries sustained due to somebody's recklessness. There's just one number to call. It's 1-800-LAWYERS. Put the Frankels number in your phone right now. It's 1-800-LAWYERS. They'll handle everything from your initial consultation to review your case. They'll help you get medical care and representation to do everything they can to recover a settlement that's just and fair. Frankel & Frankel is the name we trust, and you can as well. You know, the stress can be overwhelming when you have a personal injury, not your fault. You don't know what's going to unfold. So put the team of lawyers at Frankel & Frankel on the case for you. They'll fight to recover medical expenses, lost wages, and so much more. Frankel & Frankel, they've been advocates for the safety of our community for more than 2 decades in DFW. So if you're hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, just give them a call. Scott and Mark Frankel, you know they actually have an entire team of lawyers, and they're standing by to protect you and your family when you need them most. Don't get taken advantage of by the insurance company. Do you think they have your best interest as a priority? Well, Frankel & Frankel does. So if you've been hurt due to somebody's negligence, call 1-800-LAWYERS.
In downtown Dallas, featuring a live musical performance by Linda Eder. For tickets and more information, visit dfwrestaurantweek.com/food and wine. Benefiting North Texas Food Bank and Lena Pope.
Presented in part by your Metroplex Cadillac dealers, beef loving Texans in downtown Dallas.
Hey, it's a Thirsty Thursday here on The Fan. We're brought to you by Shell. Around the NFL is at 10:40 today. Brad Sham at 11. Now back to more G-Bag Nation in Oxnard on 105.3 The Fan.
Thanks, Lucius. Yeah, it is The Nation. And we're back. Segment's brought to you by Town East Ford. And we're in Oxnard, California. You just talked with Will McClay, segment here brought to you by Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If you have financial stress in your life facing foreclosure or repossession, call the guy that's been with us here at The Fan since day one. It's Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Yeah, we asked Will McClay about the Cowboys signing this morning of running back Ronnie Hillman. And, you know, he went with the Lance Dunbar type stuff that that he did as the explanation for why they signed him, you know, looking to give Scott Linehan stuff. And I'm sure as a scout, that's, you know, exactly what they have in mind. What we're going to wonder here is, does it mean that they think Ezekiel Elliott is getting suspended? Is that any sort of indication about how they feel about it?
I honestly think that's part of their thinking. Yeah. I don't think that's the main part of their thinking. If you were to give percentages to the things, hey, do we need a guy to run the ball in preseason game one and game two? Because we don't want McFadden to touch the ball because he's very fragile. Ezekiel Elliott is too important to put in a preseason game. So we need guys. I think that's priority number one. I think as we move down the list of priorities, one of the priorities is, what if Zeke misses the first two games of the season?
Yeah. How are they fixed at running back after McFadden and Morris?
Well, I think part of the reason he's here is because they got a rookie at a Temple named Jahad Thomas who hasn't been playing yet. He's standing on the side, so he's banged up, and he's not out there. So yesterday, as we watched team, Rod Smith, the fullback, is getting some of the running back carries. So I think they needed somebody for carries today. They need somebody for carries for the Hall of Fame game. And to your point, if he turns out to be – other than Zeke, one of the best three, and something happens to Zeke, well, then he can make the football team. So really no reason not to bring in a running back.
Has he been doing anything in his career so far that should get you excited about his playmaking ability behind this line?
Ronnie Hillman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good in Denver for a year. Yeah, what year was that?
He had moments.
13 or 14.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of like what they got, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's a veteran running back that's been in the NFL for a while.
He could be your third running back for week one and week two if Zeke's not on the field.
Elsewhere, SI had the headline this morning, Mike, that you pointed out. Jalen Smith looked fantastic in day one.
It's just surprising just because talking to Jeff Kavanaugh, and I stood next to him for most of practice. Sometimes we moved to different areas to watch different things. I was happy that he was out there, that he was – taking on contact, and he didn't get hurt, and everything came out okay at the end. But, boy, fantastic to me would be he's chasing down the ball. He's exploding through gaps and standing up the running back. You can't tackle the guy. I saw nothing like that. So fantastic, I thought, was way too high of praise for what I saw. But I was also happy with what I saw.
I think it comes down to where do you start the day?
Yeah.
And, you know, if Peter King or whoever wrote that headline from SI had nothing to go by and we're just talking about a guy with drop foot, I think yesterday would have been very eye-opening and like, wow, that's, you know, very interesting that a player with drop foot could be performing and looking that good.
Yeah, I think if you'd watched him the 2 days prior, like we had done, like he looked like he fit in almost,
yeah,
with the other NFL linebackers, just moving around and doing drills. Like, he almost looked like an NFL linebacker. When you put him in pads, if you want to talk about who looked fantastic, Anthony Hitchens looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Anthony Hitchens plays with no hesitation. There's no hesitation through contact, weaving in and out of traffic. There's no hesitation. The guy is getting to the ball carrier. With Jalen, I saw a lot of hesitation. Where whether it was running into Dan Skipper, who's blocking him, whether it's running into Mickey, ran down a list of guys that sort of blocked him up yesterday. And when they ran a passing play, watching him go from coming forward to backward and then try to make a play on the football, the game of football looked like it was really fast to him. And it should. It's been 18, 19 months since he played it. And he's trying to learn how to play with however he feels.
Different
at the
muscles.
Moment. Right.
You know?
And so it makes sense that he looks that way. I'm still, from these three, and now this is our fourth day here, I'm very encouraged compared to what I thought I would see from Jalen Smith. But from just yesterday, I'm not encouraged that there's any chance that he's going to run out there and play NFL football week one. I don't know if it's going to be. It's just a matter of when is he going to play, because I now am on board that he's going to be an NFL football player. It's just a matter of, can he get reaccustomed to how this game goes at full speed in pads, and how much ability does he have on his left side out of that, and how does it keep regenerating? Is he ready after a pup stint, in a six-week pump stint, after a bye week in week 11 or 12, or is it 2018? I don't know. I wouldn't have your expectations that Jalen Smith's going to be out there week one playing football. I would have your expectations that that dude is a heck of a story because of what he's overcoming, and that I think he's going to get there. He's not there.
Jeff, did you watch the linebacker drills yesterday where they'd pop a guy and then attack the ball and then have to kind of pick the guy up, the linebacker carrying the ball?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The linebacker's coach, what's his name?
Eberflus.
Eberflus. He's like, you got to pop the guy to the rookie. You're not popping.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.